Hey, it's the Pete for the Pete Podcast from thepete.com. So the RNC wrapped up last week without any major surprises, save one from Mr. Ted Cruz, who decided to do probably a good thing for America, even though it's a small good thing, and not endorse Trump. And technically, I guess that's two things. He told America to vote with its conscience. And I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's the way we should vote every year, or every time we vote. We should vote with our conscience, not with our conscience, not with our fear. And that's what we tend to do in this country. Every 4 years, or every time I go to vote in a federal election, every 4 years, I tell myself I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. It's like, I don't really believe in evil, so it's more accurate to say the lesser of two corruptions. But I do it anyway because I'm scared. I was scared of a Romney presidency. I was scared of, a second Bush term. I was scared of a first Bush term. Though I did like Gore more than I like most candidates I vote for. And so it's just like, I'm sick of this dual choice of like, you know, bad or worse. It's just such a stupid way to run a democracy, and I'm sick and tired of, you know, everybody focusing on how bad the other candidate is, you know, instead of focusing on how good the other candidate is. You know, it's like if their own themselves are, not the other candidate. You know what I mean? So instead of Trump bad-mouthing Clinton for a week, or Trump people bad-mouthing Clinton for a week last week, like they did last week, how about, you know, explaining how Trump is actually going to do what he's going to do? I know that is, you know, the opposite of what Trump has been doing his entire campaign, you know, actually telling us what he's going to do and not just blowing hot air at us. But, you know, that would have been nice. And I hope that, now that the DNC is going this week, we don't see all of Hillary Clinton's supporters going on about how bad Trump is. We know how bad Trump is. I grew up in, you know, the tri-state area. I've known my entire life what a useless person Trump is. He is sort of the Kim Kardashian, the proto Kim Kardashian. So, you know, famous for no good reason, famous for just being themselves. And that's it, you know, cause he's not a particularly talented businessman. He's not a particularly talented anything except, hyperbolic person. He's a talented hyperbolist. someone who practices in the art of hyperbole, which is, you know, when you exaggerate stuff, and he does it all the time. He's the greatest at it, the greatest. He's incredible at hyperbole, and that's not hyperbolic. So I just wish I had more choices. And when you go to a country like Canada and look at their parliamentary system, you realize they've got more than two parties. And that's what keeps their government functioning in a reasonable manner. Because we have two parties here, when one party gets in a majority, they can kind of be in charge and have their way, or stop the other party from having their way. But in Canada, that doesn't happen, because when you have a majority party in Canada, you don't have that big a majority. So, because there's too many other parties. So you still have to get along with everybody else. And that's the thing. And our government doesn't know how to get along with anybody. And that shouldn't come as a surprise to, you know, anyone who listens to me regularly. We don't get along with anybody on the planet, practically. So I'm fed up with this two-choice system where it's, you know, bad or worse. That's it, you know. I have half a mind to just say, screw it. You know what? It's not going to be my vote that damns America to a Trump presidency, you know. And if there is a Hillary Clinton presidency, and she does a shit job, you won't be able to blame me if I voted for Jill Stein, you know. I voted for a woman, but, you know. And I also hate this whole attitude of like, oh, well, don't you want to vote for the first woman president? Well, no, not unless she's a good president, you know, not unless she's a good candidate. I mean, I do, and I will, but not really. I don't want to, but I'm going to because I'm scared. And, yeah. So, there you go. So anyway, it's just very frustrating. The other thing I wanted to talk about this week, wow, 5 minutes on the nose, cool, is our, once again, our culture of ignorance has gotten us where we are. If you read, if you've been reading Ballpoint Adventures lately, ballpointadventures.com, my little simply drawn, but well written, I think, comic strip, you know that basically I've been, you know, on about the whole, you know, Republicans sort of sitting in their own filth because they are the ones, they are the party of ignorance, they are the party of cutting education, healthcare, basically everything that makes sure that you are a smart person. The environment, yeah. And so they do all this and they basically make their own electorate stupid. And this is how Trump got into power in the party. And so it's this culture of ignorance that has gotten us to where we are now in America or on Earth, because guess what? Everyone has to deal with who runs America on Earth. You know what I mean? Because we're that, those kinds of douchebags. We will run rampant over the world. We have. Anyway, the point is, it would be wonderful if we could all start learning again. If we could all sort of put education and being informed up on a pedestal. Knowledge, intelligence, education, reading. Being a smart person should be praised. Being a smart person should be lauded. But instead, our national hero is Homer Simpson. So we tend to, you know, laugh at people who are stupid and not praise people who are intelligent and smart people who know their stuff. It's getting a little bit better thanks to Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, and the Mythbusters and people who aspire to be like them. But it's still not great, obviously, since Trump is currently leading in the polls. Now, I know that's a post-convention bump, and hopefully we'll go back down, but I still feel like we're here because of stupid. And in fact, just last night, my wife was saying about how she's just frustrated with people who don't know history. You know, they look at history and they say, oh, look, Republicans, Lincoln was a Republican, so that makes the Republican Party the party of Lincoln. Well, things are a little different now from compared to when Lincoln was a Republican, you know. It's pretty oversimplifying to say something like that. And in fact, I always hate the arguments I heard all last week from Republicans was, the question is this simple. And then they'd say some bullshit thing, question that wasn't at all simple, but it was in fact simplified. You know, like Chris Christie's whole rhetoric about, you know, is Hillary Clinton guilty or not guilty? And it's just like, well, wait, the way you phrase it, of course she's guilty, but you're not actually a real court of law. You're a former prosecutor, so naturally you don't know what it's like to be a judge. You know what it's like to be a prosecutor. So, you know, the prosecutor's job is to get a conviction. It's not to make sure somebody gets their rights. Anyway, you get the point. We don't understand history. We don't understand information. We don't seek it out. We barely understand the confirmation bias. I always forget about confirmation bias myself, and I've mentioned it before. Just Google it. It's a very weird, frustrating time to be paying attention to all this stuff. But it's, I think, important that we do because when our grandkids or when somebody's grandkids climb out of the rubble that was once the American civilization and goes, hey, what happened? We'll be able to tell them, you know, and not be like, well, I don't recall, all right? And it wasn't really paying attention because I'm an idiot or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it's important that we all pay attention. I know it's scary. I know it's sometimes really boring and sometimes really scary. But, you know, we really, really do pay attention. Then again, you know, honestly, if you want to tune out, it is very scary. And I don't think I should blame people for wanting to be like, you know what, this isn't my bag. I personally enjoy the metaphorical ride of Slim Pickens at the end of Dr. Strangelove. If you haven't seen that movie, see it. Oh, my God, you have to see it. It's awesome. Oh, my God, and I'm almost out of time. So let me wrap this up. Thank you very much for listening. Let me know what you think. This has been The Pete for The Pete Podcast and ThePete.com. Wow, just squeezing this in. Thanks so much for listening. please read ballpointadventures.com and the